I wanted to ask you, Dr. Barrett, you know, in the immediate aftermath of these killings, the family members spoke out quite strongly. Suzanne Barakat, the sister of Dia Barakat, the young gentleman who was killed, as well as Abu Salha, the father of the two sisters, spoke out as well. And all of them have used the word hate crime and said that this needs to be investigated as a hate crime. Are they jumping to conclusions? Are we all jumping to a conclusion here?
I don't think so. And frankly, I do think this is a bit of a debate because I have a very different view of all of this from Maxime's. Actually, I think it's pretty clear that this was an Islamophobic hate crime, and it was related to the nonstop drumbeat of Islamophobia in the world media, and especially the U.S. mainstream media. I don't think there's any question about that. You know, saying that this guy just hated everybody and he would have killed just anybody, that's an example of being deep in denial. That's a little bit like saying this Coulibaly guy in Paris just was looking for a restaurant because he didn't like people who worked in restaurants, and it just happened that he picked a Jewish deli. I doubt that, and I doubt very much that these murders in North Carolina were just sort of random and they just happened to pick Muslims. And I also think that Maxime is in very deep denial about
the fact that they were random.
There is no equivalence whatsoever right now between this Islamophobic genocide that is going on because of the media that she works for and these other varieties of hate. Yes, all hate is bad, but since the 9/11 false flag operation, which was designed by neoconservatives to whip up a frenzy of Islamophobia to launch wars against Muslim countries, that has led to the murder of more than 1 million people because they were Muslim. And it's led to the terrorization of Muslims all over the world, especially here in the U.S., where I'm in Madison, Wisconsin. I was teaching at the university when 9/11 happened. Every single Muslim I spoke to, dozens and dozens, knew right away that this was an inside job. It was obviously done by intelligence services as part of a plan to create a new Pearl Harbor, to rally the people of the West against a new enemy, to replace the lost enemy of the Cold War. And that new enemy is Islam. And with the murder of over 1 million Muslims in the world since this false flag event and subsequent false flag events, including the Charlie Hebdo event, this was another professional operation that's been falsely blamed on two guys that they killed so they wouldn't have to bring them to trial. This is part of a genocide based on deception. And the mainstream media, which has refused to investigate what really happened on September 11th, has refused to investigate the demolition of Building 7 by confessed, overinsured gangster landlord of 2 months, Larry Silverstein, who was a close friend of Netanyahu. This complete failure to investigate this by journalists in New York City, like you, Maxime, absolutely makes you complicit in propaganda for genocide. You are working for organizations which are the equivalent of Dr. Joseph Goebbels. You are guilty of the murder of 1 million Muslims, including these kids in North Carolina, and you are in complete denial of that fact. So would you please investigate what happened to Building 7 and the role of Frank Lloyd, Larry Silverstein, and other billionaire Zionist friends of Netanyahu, who are the ones who really pulled off 9/11 and set off this avalanche of Islamophobia that has led to genocide all over the world, including here in the United States.
Mr. Ver, go ahead and go ahead and respond.
Doctor, you disappoint me. Doctor, you disappoint me. You disappoint me, doctor. The need is to work not on rumor and not
the truth
on...
hurts,
Supposed fraudulent statements. The truth is not what
Silverstein
you say.
Silverstein confessed twice on national television to demolishing Building 7. You're in New York.
First of all, we are not debating.
Silverstein.
I am happy to investigate, and I would be very happy to find
national television
that what you say is absolutely
please
wrong.
Please do.
Look, are you a civil engineer? Are you a mechanical engineer? As it happens, I worked in building in tower number two.
Thousands of engineers, architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth are saying the same thing that I'm saying.
Yeah, and those buildings impacted upon, doctor, we cannot speak above one another. One and then the other. The point being that those buildings impacted upon one another. And when the two towers went down, they caused such structural damage in 7 that there was no choice, but it would fall down. the implication that there was any malfeasance in the construction or an inside job is absolutely fraudulent.
Okay, I do apologize for interrupting both of you.
If I may
just come in here, Mr. Verb, just because we have
North
a few minutes
Carolina
left, and I don't want to get too sidetracked with the topic, though I do appreciate the debate occurring. Mr. Verb, I wanted to ask you, when it comes to the media and the aftermath of what happened in Chapel Hill, we've seen a couple of interesting reactions. We saw the likes of, I believe it was the entertainment show called Inside Edition, doing a piece on how this was a parking dispute, so let's now teach people how to find parking spots without fighting with the other cars in the parking lot. Interesting pieces like that. We've also seen stories on social media of Muslim women feeling harassed and actually feeling threatened. One Muslim woman actually had a white pickup truck follow her for a couple of miles, and she called the police, and that's when the pickup truck left. So these incidents have been growing in the wake of this attack, and even last night I've heard of news of an Islamic center in Houston, which might have been attacked by an arson. In this atmosphere, certainly the media is not helping, is it?
Well, you did say it was an entertainment show. I think it's irresponsible in the height of the moment for an entertainment show to look to be entertaining along the tragedy. I think it's also a matter of the kind of permissiveness of the society that's allowed things like people like this to carry guns in his belt. This wasn't an isolated incident, and I agree with the doctor that this didn't happen on a snap of a finger. He had been building a hateful relationship against these young people for multiple times. We're dealing with a man here who is the bottom of society. He's about to face a second divorce. He is, according to his own statement to the judge, not even paying rent, living basically on the income of his soon-to-be ex-wife. The fact that that these two people, the young, beautiful people, and this passion of hate came together is a tragedy. And I don't know that that is the media's responsibility. The media needs to bring forward the value of individuals, the value of each individual, and not allow the sickness that is in some of the extremists on all sides. Extremists on all sides are hateful people. They will hate the other simply because it is the other. That's the educational obligation. You as a professor need to work towards the obligation of valuing each group for its humanity, for its values, and saying and looking to monger hate by talking about inside jobs plays into the haters. I'm disappointed in the way you see the need to educate. Because
okay,
I don't
do apologize
see that
once
you see
once
the
more
need
for interrupting.
Educate.
We just have a minute left.
Certainly
I do apologize.
Each of us in media, anyone who has the ability
Dr. Brett,
to
I wanted to give you the final word essentially
needs
at this
to do
time,
that
Dr. Brett.
Responsibility.
Going forward at this time, in the immediate aftermath, we saw an immediate social media campaign by both the family and many Muslim Americans going forth. And that's, of course, adding some pressure, I would imagine, on both the government and authorities. Do you think justice at some level will be served here?
Well, I don't know whether justice will be served in this individual case. I'm sure this killer will spend a lot of time in prison. But in the larger the larger scope of things, where we have this campaign of Islamophobia that's being propelled all over the world by the war machine, the mainstream media, there's a $57 million network of anti-Islam foundations, which are largely funded by people who are profiting one way or another from the so-called war on terror, which is really a war on Islam, and it was indeed launched by the false flag events of 9/11 and continuing ones today. That is absolutely relevant. This is where it's coming from. There is a propaganda campaign designed to demonize Muslims, and undoubtedly, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, or even millions of Muslims will continue to be murdered because they are Muslims, as millions already have been during this war on Islam, which has been disguised as a phony war on terror. And I really hope that Maxine will actually do some
mediations. Very well. We'll have to hear that, Dr. Brett. I do apologize for interrupting you. But, of course, we do sincerely appreciate both of your contributions to the debate. That was Dr. Kevin Brett, founding member of the Muslim-Jewish-Christian Alliance. And we were also joined by Ms. Maxine Dover, who is a New York-based reporter, and she was speaking to us live from New York. And, of course, viewers, we do appreciate you watching as well. Until next time, good night.